live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 15th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Joe Biden unveils a nearly $2 trillion plan to stimulate the economy and fight the pandemic.
Worldwide COVID-19 deaths approach 2 million and concern spreads about new strains of the virus.
And a busy morning on Wall Street with earnings from J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo.
Governor Cuomo proposes a multi-billion dollar New York transit overhaul, plus more on President Trump's plans on Inauguration Day. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets have hired 49ers assistant Robert Sala as their new coach. The Islanders in the season opener shut out the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Portfolio Analysts, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analysts to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com.
And U.S. futures are lower ahead of big bank earnings today, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.11%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President-elect Joe Biden announcing a nearly $2 trillion COVID relief package. He is urging swift action on the plan to stimulate the economy and fight the pandemic. Here with details is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
It's called the American Rescue Plan. It includes $400 billion for COVID-19 management, $440 billion for communities and businesses, and more than $1 trillion in direct relief spending.
We will finish the job of getting a total of $2,000 in cash relief to people who needed the most.
Biden's plan has a specific focus on states and communities, providing money and resources to reopen schools, he says, in the next few months.
To safely reopen a majority of our K through 8 schools by the end of the first 100 days.
Now, later today, Biden will unveil his vaccination plan. The goal, 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days of the Biden administration. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Biden's proposal serves as the opening salvo for negotiations. GOP strategist Adam Goodman says the big price tag and minimum wage proposal will face opposition.
So the $15 minimum wage, that to me is a gesture and a gambit in terms of where Democrats would like to move. But I don't think there's a realistic chance if they want to have Republicans joining this package on stimulus that that itself is going to hold water.
Well, that could be an issue for Republicans. Iona College professor Jeannie Zeno says Biden's experience will be helpful in negotiations.
You know, this is a president who knows this institution and he knows how this is done. He was there during the 2008-2009 stimulus. This is 50% bigger by, I guess, some estimations. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Goodman and Zeno spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
President-elect Biden's relief plan comes as global coronavirus deaths approach 2 million. The U.S. leads the way with almost 390,000 fatalities. New variants of the virus are the latest concern. Some experts say current vaccines should work against the strains, but Dr. David Agus at the University of Southern California says the jury's still out.
The initial data looks like the United Kingdom strain is targeted. The South African strain is significantly different, and there is some concern that antibodies from people who got the prior vaccines or the current vaccines will not respond. And we're waiting for more data.
So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 12 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
After a torrid week in Washington, not much action this morning on the impeachment front. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not said when she'll send the article of impeachment to the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer have not said how they plan to handle the case.
Meantime, Bloomberg News has learned President Trump has reconciled with ex-strategist Steve Bannon. The two have spoken repeatedly in recent weeks as the former White House advisor faces criminal charges. One source tells us the president's been seeking allies to tell him what he wants to hear as he props up false claims of a rigged election.
Meantime, the president continues to go after China in his last few days in office. The Trump administration is blacklisting smartphone maker Xiaomi for alleged military links. It's also doing the same to CNOOC, one of China's largest national oil companies. Bloomberg's David Westin spoke with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross about the move.
This is not just a commercial enterprise trying to advance its commercial interests. This is CNOOC acting as a very active and militarily supported arm of the Chinese government.
The move to blacklist CNOOC blocks the company from accessing U.S. technologies without explicit permission.
Turning to corporate news now, today marks the unofficial start of fourth quarter earnings season. Several of the biggest U.S. banks opened their books this morning. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and PNC all report with trading revenue expected to remain strong. Pandemic pressures are expected to weigh on their bottom lines, with profits forecast to be down from a year ago. Analysts are looking forward to better days in 2021, with trading revenue staying strong and rising vaccination rates easing the grip of the pandemic. And as the crisis begins to ease, they see annual profits this year recovering enough to undo last year's declines. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Despite that optimism for the months ahead, it'll take a while for the economy to recover from the pandemic. That's according to Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell. As a result, he says ultra-easy monetary policy will be here for a while.
Now is not the time to be talking about exit. I think that another lesson of the global financial crisis is be careful not to exit too early. And by the way, try not to talk about exit all the time if you're sending that signal, because the markets are listening.
Powell made the comments at a Princeton University webinar, promising plenty of notice on if and when the Fed plans to trim its bond buying program. And again, futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures, they're down 18 points. Dow futures down 130. NASDAQ futures down 42. And the 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 1.11%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo put forth a wide-ranging $306 billion plan to overhaul New York's transit system that would add train lines, expand airport capacity, and make hubs cleaner and easier to use. Cuomo says the Empire Station Complex project will be the most ambitious mass transit development in the United States of America.
Across the state, we're now building bigger and better and laying the foundation for our future. Not even COVID stopped us. Even as we battled the pandemic, we used the period of reduced traffic to actually accelerate projects through the state.
The plan calls for a 140-acre development on the west side that would include additional investment for Penn Station. New York City's budget gap will predict to widen by $5.3 billion in the next fiscal year as projected tax revenue from offices and hotels plummet. Mayor Bill de Blasio says overall property values are projected to decline 15.6%, most of which comes from commercial properties. The pandemic drove office vacancy rates in Manhattan to a 24-year high, and hotels stood empty. The NYPD is facing a civil lawsuit about conduct that some officers allegedly engaged in during the George Floyd protests this past spring and summer. New York Attorney General Letitia James said the police department, along with Mayor Bill de Blasio, are named in the suit after dozens of documented incidents of officers arresting bystanders using pepper spray and hurting those who pose no threat.
What we saw was legal rights and protections tossed aside. We cannot say that leadership turned a blind eye to what was happening on our city streets, because we know they saw it all. We all saw it.
James says the lawsuit hopes to reform the NYPD's policing practices. 7-foot-high fences topped with barbed wire surround the U.S. Capitol, and thousands of National Guard troops are patrolling the streets of D.C. ahead of next week's inauguration. FBI Director Chris Wray, speaking for the first time since the Capitol attack, warned of new threats. Wray also says arrests are growing by the day.
We've already identified over 200 suspects, so we know who you are if you're out there. And FBI agents are coming to find you.
President Trump plans to fly to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida the morning of Joe Biden's inauguration. According to people familiar with the matter, the president intends to live at the Palm Beach resort. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it appeared likely that some NFL team was going to hire Robert Saleh as their head coach. He interviewed with 6 of the 7 teams looking. He emerged as the Jets' favorite when shortly after his first interview, they brought him in for a second. The 41-year-old Saleh, who has worked for 4 NFL teams, most recently the 49ers, has been named to replace Adam Gase. His background is on defense. The job of running the offense and improving quarterback Sam Darnold is expected to go to 49ers assistant Mike LaFleur. His brother Matt is the head coach in Green Bay. The Jets were the NFL's second worst team. Jacksonville was the worst. Urban Meyer is the new coach of the Jaguars, a wildly successful college coach. He's never coached in the NFL. They dropped the puck at the Garden. First hockey game there in 10 months. It could not have gone any better for the Islanders. 2 goals in the first 4 minutes. They went on to a 4-0 shutout of the Rangers. 24 saves for Semyon Varlamov. The Devils lost 3-2 in a shootout to the Bruins. The Nets host Orlando tomorrow. Expected to be the Nets debut for James Harden. Brooklyn general manager Sean Marks made the blockbuster trade.
I've enjoyed the conversation I had with James last night. And I look forward to getting to know him, just as our players and staff certainly do. And I like what I heard. And I think he's looking for a fresh start. And I think these guys are going to have to sacrifice, without a doubt. But they're also going to push us. They're going to push our franchise and hopefully take us to where we need to go.
Marks was asked about the continued absence of Kyrie Irving. He would not comment on the reasons, said he's disappointed, but expects Irving to return at some point. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures lower by 124. NASDAQ futures down 40 points. 10-year Treasury up 6.30 seconds. The yield on the 10-year benchmark note 1.10%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower as we wait for earnings this morning, as well as reports on retail sales and consumer sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 18 points. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures down 40. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 6.30 seconds. Yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or 81 cents at $52.76 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed, up 90 cents at $18.52.30 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Joe Biden has unveiled a $1.9 trillion coronavirus plan by speeding up COVID vaccines and pumping out financial help to those struggling with the pandemic's prolonged economic fallout.
We'll take action to extend nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. This will provide more than 25 million Americans greater stability instead of living on the edge every single month.
President Trump, facing a second impeachment trial, is having trouble finding a legal team to defend him. People familiar with the matter say lawyers who defended him in the previous impeachment trial have said no this time. The NHL season is underway. The Islanders shut out the Rangers. The Bruins beat the Devils in a shootout 3-2. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Warriors lost. NFL, the Jets have hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh as the new head coach. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to talk more about President-elect Joe Biden's economic relief package and the politics it could be running into as he gets set to take office in just 5 days. Wendy Schiller is back with us this morning, chair of the political science department at Brown University. Really curious, Professor, to get your reaction to what the president-elect announced last night. Do you see this plan as targeted enough or just more aspirational?
Well, I mean, I think it sets the stage for yet another conversation, obviously, that pits the Democrats and some of the Republicans who joined President Trump in wanting, for example, larger individual stimulus checks against the really fiscal hawk conservatives in the Republican Party who weren't up for reelection in 2020, so had the luxury of saying no to it. But then the Republicans are defending 21 seats in 2022, and they had had hopes, and they still do, of getting the Senate back. So this is going to be an interesting political calculation for some of those senators in the Republican Party who face a potential Trump conviction vote and then a vote for or against helping the individuals in their state. And the economy is not going to bounce back in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So these are going to be double whammy votes for Republicans, particularly those who are running for reelection in the Senate in 2022.
Yeah, a lot of calculation to play out here when Biden himself is trying to figure out how to track both a potential impeachment trial with these kinds of policy proposals that he's putting forward here. How do you see Republicans particularly playing this out when the pandemic itself obviously still hasn't gone away and a lot of their constituents might be wanting a lot of the economic relief that the president-elect is proposing here?
Well, politically, it seems that you could, if you are Rob Portman, for example, Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, you could vote against convicting Trump, sort of warding off that, at least for this year, some sort of preparation for a primary challenge to you, and then vote for the stimulus package that is more generous, because you're sort of getting at protecting, you know, the person who's the focus of Republican both anger and also energy and loyalty right now. And then you at least can point to something to those people who are disappointed you didn't vote for conviction that helped them, particularly with coronavirus, the vaccine, and stimulus package. So it could give some of those senators an opportunity to vote against convicting Trump, but then vote for the stimulus package. So it's a little bit of an escape hatch for some of them who are willing to do it. It's going to be complicated terrain. You know, as you recall, the Democrats will have the Senate, but there's a legislative filibuster still. So you still need 60 votes to close debate. Whether the Democrats get rid of that is a big question mark. I don't think they have the votes in their own caucus to do that. So it'd still be 60 vote threshold if you want to get over a filibuster of a stimulus package, which is a risky thing. But people who just got reelected in the Republican Party who are running for president in 2024, possibly Cruz, Hawley, some other people, they may say, we don't care. We're going to filibuster excess spending. So the Republicans will switch immediately, right? They've been for spending now under Trump, and they will immediately switch, I would expect, to being against increasing the size of the deficit further under President Biden.
In terms of impeachment, Professor, how does the politics of a decision on whether to convict change depending on the timing of an impeachment trial?
Well, the further you get from the storming of the Capitol, and we're all hoping, I think, in America that the inauguration goes off without any incidents of violence, and President Biden and Vice President Harris are inaugurated and put into office because they won the election. You may not be happy with them if you're not their party, but you want things to be peaceful. So once as that fades, although I think the photos of the riot will be replaced by mugshots, and I think that's going to be disturbing to people, but the longer you wait, I think the less pressure Republicans will feel to convict Trump. But the Democrats seem at the moment to be determined to put those senators on record. You know, what kind of America do you stand for? What kind of Republican Party do you stand for? And that's what they're trying to do. And this is substantive, of course, but it's also electoral. And the shift will go to restoring the economy and who takes credit for that, and the 2022 elections, where the Republicans are still, in my opinion, poised to take the House back and take the Senate back, given the distribution of senators who are up for reelection. So this is going to get political very quickly. The longer the Democrats wait, I think the less the pressure that the Republicans will feel.
Professor Wendy Schiller of Brown University, great as always to get your insights on what have been fraught times just to start this year. And indeed, we are all hoping that the inauguration goes off peacefully and that calm is restored. Wendy Schiller is the chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University with us this morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak, a morning where markets are set to open on a down note ahead of bank earnings. It just kick off in just about a half hour here, actually, with S&P futures right now down 19 points, Dow futures down 100. 150. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 45 points. 10-year Treasury right now up 6/32. The yield 1.10%, and the yield on the 2-year note 0.13%. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as investors digest President-elect Joe Biden's announcement of a nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 relief plan.
The crisis of deep human suffering is in plain sight, and there's no time to waste. We have to act, and we have to act now.
The plan includes $400 billion for coronavirus management, more than $1 trillion in direct relief spending, and $440 billion for communities and business. It's twice as big as last month's stimulus bill.
You know, I know what I just described has not come cheaply. The failure to do so will cost us dearly. We will pay for that by making sure that everyone pays their fair share, not punishing anybody.
Republicans are expected to push back against proposals for broad state aid and a move to double the federal minimum wage.
The plan comes as global coronavirus deaths approach 2 million and the U.S. leads the way with almost 390,000 fatalities. New variants of the virus from the U.K. and South Africa are the latest concern. Dr. David Agus is professor of medicine at the University of Southern California.
The two strains that globally have caused the issue are ones that we're concerned about. And we're awaiting more data to understand whether these strains are targeted by the current vaccine.
So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 12 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Meantime, in Washington, the Trump administration continues to go after China in its last few days in office. Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi and the country's third biggest oil company are the latest to be targeted. And Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has more from Beijing.
Xiaomi was one of nine firms added to the Defense Department's list of Chinese military companies, a move that will restrict U.S. investments in its securities. Xiaomi, whose smartphones outsold Apple's in the third quarter, has denied it has links to the military. The Commerce Department's move against China National Offshore Oil Corp. curbs its access to U.S. technology. China has criticized similar moves and has said it will safeguard the interests of its companies. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thanks. Back here in the U.S., the first of the big banks report earnings today. We hear from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. It's also a busy day on the economic front, with readings on the way for both retail sales and producer prices in December.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 128 and NASDAQ futures down 41. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.10%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. Straight ahead, your local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you, sir. Governor Andrew Cuomo is announcing a wide-ranging $306 billion plan to overhaul New York's transit system that would include adding trains and expand airport capacity. Cuomo, during his daily briefing, says at some point, America lost its way with ambition.
We sat by and we watched our infrastructure crumble. Meanwhile, the world developed around us. We saw the largest high-speed rail network erected in China, the longest tunnel built in Europe, great global air hubs take shape in the Middle East, turning barren desert into economic engines.
The entire plan, including Penn Station in Manhattan, will be called the Empire Station Complex Project. At least eight people were hurt after an MTA bus crash left a tandem bus hanging off an overpass over the Cross Bronx Expressway last night. All of the passengers are expected to survive. The NYPD is facing a civil lawsuit about conduct that some officers allegedly engaged in during the George Floyd protests this past spring and summer. New York Attorney General Letitia James says there are dozens of documented incidents of officers arresting bystanders who pose no threat. Rain Valentine says he was a victim.
He pushed me to the ground, began attacking me for no apparent reason. Additional officers then joined him and continued to beat me. I told the officers I was simply trying to get home, to which one of the officers threateningly replied, "You picked the wrong time to do that."
A.G. James says the lawsuit aims to reform the ways in which officers engage with protesters. FBI Director Chris Wray says there is increasing online chatter about activity at the U.S. Capitol for Inauguration Day. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Security is actually under the control of Vice President Mike Pence, but Director Christopher Wray says the agency is hearing a lot of activity.
We are seeing an extensive amount of concerning online chatter, I guess the best way I would describe it, about a number of events surrounding the inauguration.
Now, there'll be troops in D.C. on Election Day from all over the U.S. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump plans to fly to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida the morning of Joe Biden's inauguration. According to people familiar with the matter, he intends to live at the Palm Beach Resort. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Jets have their new coach, Robert Saleh, 41 years old. His 49ers defense went from being the worst in the NFL to being the big reason why they were in the Super Bowl a year ago. What may have really sold the Jets was Saleh's energy and enthusiasm, something his predecessor Adam Gase was clearly lacking. Because he is a minority, the 49ers will get two extra third-round draft picks. That's the new rule that rewards teams for grooming minorities to become a head coach. Urban Meyer is the new coach in Jacksonville. Meyer had huge success at four different college jobs, won national championships with Florida and Ohio State. Now he'll try the NFL. The Jaguars have the first pick of the draft, also $76 million in salary cap space. The playoffs resume tomorrow. The Rams in Green Bay. Then two red-hot AFC teams, Baltimore at Buffalo. Sunday, it's Cleveland at Kansas City. And Tampa Bay at New Orleans, the battle of the legendary quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Hockey is back. Islanders scored three times in the first period, shut out the Rangers at the Garden 4-0. The Devils lost to the Bruins 3-2 in a shootout. James Harden expected a debut for the Nets tomorrow in Brooklyn against Orlando, but Kyrie Irving again not expected to play. The only time Irving has been seen in the past week is in a video where he's at a party without a mask on. He could get suspended for that. Nets general manager Sean Marks was asked when Irving will return.
Part of that is going to be up to the NBA, and we're waiting for them to come out with, so they're ruling on the health and safety protocols. Hopefully we'll have a ruling soon. You know, I have talked to Kyrie, so I know he's excited about getting back on the court with his teammates, you know, as soon as possible.
Marks would not comment on the reason for Irving's continued absence. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. It's time to take a look at stocks, some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us minutes ahead of the first of the six big banks to report earnings. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, I'm sure they're on your radar this morning, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. And they're lower in early trading. J.P. Morgan off 0.5%. Wells Fargo and Citi down about 0.75%. You know, J.P. Morgan, we should get their results within the next 10 minutes or so. The bank's fourth quarter adjusted earnings were little changed based on the average estimate of analysts in a Bloomberg survey. They expect revenue to have dropped 2% on average. We should also have numbers in the next few minutes from one of the biggest regional banks, PNC Financial. And then within the next hour and a half or so, Wells Fargo and Citigroup will be out. And there are a couple of companies in transition. You know, Wells, yesterday we reported a person familiar with the matter saying the company's in talks to sell its asset management management business to a private equity group. And then at Citi, you've got a CEO transition going on. The current CEO, Michael Corbat, stepping down at the end of the month. He'll be succeeded by Jane Fraser, who runs Citi's consumer banking business. She'll be the first woman to run a major Wall Street bank. Also, this week, Citi said it will combine consumer wealth management and private banking units. So, you know, both companies, analysts looking for earnings and revenue to be down for the fourth quarter. But it's really, as much as anything, about the transitions going on at those banks.
Now, of course, once those J.P. Morgan results cross the Bloomberg terminal, we will bring them to you here on Bloomberg Radio. But aside from the financials, Dave, what do you got to look at? Got an eye on?
Well, there's a transition going on at Monster Beverage as well. I mean, the shares are up 0.5% in early trading. The energy drink maker named President Hilton Schlossberg to serve as co-CEO with Rodney Sacks, who's run Monster since 1990. Schlossberg had been chief financial officer. He was succeeded by another top executive, Greg Kelly. Watching GameStop to see if it can go 5 days with gains. The video game retailer has more than doubled this week as trading has surged. All this triggered by GameStop's granting of 3 board seats to its second largest shareholder, Chewy.com co-founder Ryan Cohen. And in early trading today, GameStop is up 2%. And then a couple of initial public offerings from yesterday to watch. Poshmark, which is down 1.5%. It's an online marketplace with secondhand goods that soared 142% on its first day of trading. And Petco Health and Wellness, up 1.5% in the moment. Yesterday, climbed 63% in its debut. So we'll see how those IPOs fare in their second day.
Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, very busy morning for you. Thank you for being with us. And looking at the broader market this morning, it's moving lower. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures lower by 128. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 38 points as we await those results from J.P. Morgan in just a few minutes. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, upper 40s today. Rain develops overnight. It'll be breezy. Mostly cloudy by tomorrow afternoon, though. Low 40s. We'll stay in the low 40s under a partly sunny sky on Sunday. 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're watching for earnings this morning from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo, with J.P. Morgan Chase down about 0.1% as those earnings are expected within, not much longer from now, about 13 minutes. S&P futures are lower ahead of that, down about 16 points. Dow futures down 129. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 1.10%. The yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 74 cents at $52.83 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.1% on $1.10 at $18.50.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2131 against the dollar. British pound 1.3642. And the yen 103.67, and checking Bitcoin at $37,998. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Joe Biden will ask Congress for $1.9 trillion to fund immediate relief for the pandemic wrecked U.S. economy. Biden says the package includes aid to state and local governments.
If we invest now boldly, smartly, and with unwavering focus on American workers and families, we will strengthen our economy, reduce inequity, and put our nation's long-term finances on the most sustainable course.
Russia has just announced its withdrawal from the Open Skies Treaty following the U.S. exit. New York State reported more than 200 daily COVID-19 deaths for the first time since May. Meanwhile, the world is approaching 2 million people dead from the pandemic. NHL season underway. The Islanders shut out the Rangers 4-0. The Bruins beat the Devils 3-2 in a shootout. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Warriors lost. In the NFL, the Jets have hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh as the new head coach. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President-elect Biden's $1.9 trillion economic relief proposal, Biden's agenda waiting on the next maneuvers from the Senate and House Speaker Pelosi, and Congress cast a wary eye inward for answers into last week's Capitol riot. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Of course, for investors this morning, the president-elect's economic rescue package is front and center. Kate, some of it does look like a rescue package. Other aspects, I think it's safe to say, sound like they're part of a broader budget proposal. It almost feels like budget day in Washington.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. I think what we're seeing is Biden laying out very broadly his economic vision beyond just, you know, what we talked about through the extent of the fall last year, which is a coronavirus stimulus package. Obviously, those two things are intertwined, but by including things like more than doubling the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, Biden is certainly signaling that he's going bigger than, you know, just a coronavirus stimulus.
Is it too big, given the thinness of the Democratic majorities in both houses of Congress?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, to kind of unpack what the Biden strategy is here, because in some ways, you know, by going so big, I think he's trying to send a signal to members of his own party, perhaps even more liberal members, and also to markets, of what it is that he's going to try to achieve and the scope of what he's going to try to do, what his policies might look like. That being said, you know, as you pointed out, Nathan, the reality is in the Senate and also in the House, where we have to remember that Nancy Pelosi has an even slimmer majority than she did at the end of last year, the numbers are just really tough. And so the idea of getting some kind of, even as particularly as one big package proposal, the scale of which Biden is talking about is pretty unrealistic.
And, of course, with the president-elect trying to signal that he wants to work across the aisle, get bipartisan support for this package, Republicans are weighing not only whether to support Biden on this, but how to go down on the current president who's facing an impeachment trial. There are some very tricky politics here.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, kind of rewinding a day or two, this helps explain the maneuvering that Mitch McConnell was doing when he decided, you know, not to go forward with the impeachment trial beginning yesterday or even Wednesday night when after the House voted. And so I think what we're seeing now is some, you know, the fallout from that and what it's going to mean for Democrats is they're going to take over control of the Senate. They're going to take over control of the White House. And the first thing they're going to have to do is deal with this impeachment thing. And they're going to be trying to do that at the same time that they're trying to get Joe Biden's agenda off the ground.
Which makes what we hear from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, I think, later today key. She's holding her weekly news conference later on this morning. What are you expecting to hear from the speaker today?
Well, I'm sure we'll hear a renewed call for, you know, Senate action on a trial, Senate action on the impeachment article that the House has passed. And that would come, of course, in the form of a Senate trial. I also would imagine that she would talk about, you know, being in pretty much in sync with Biden's proposal and, you know, maybe give us some specifics or some additional details on, you know, what the House's approach might be to taking up elements of that.
In the meantime, we've got an investigation going on into the Capitol riot, and members of Congress are alluding to the idea that they may be investigating themselves in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we've seen these reports, these disturbing reports over the last couple of days about, you know, questioning whether members of Congress might have given, quote unquote, reconnaissance tours to Trump supporters the day before the mob attack on the Capitol. Obviously, that's raised, you know, a lot of concern and kind of comes against the backdrop of questions about why the security failure was so dramatic on that day. And so I think there's just, you know, as the days go by, we seem to have more questions and there's really not a lot of answers yet.
Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, of course, we're going to be trying to find the answers to many of those questions in the days ahead. You can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. In the meantime, we continue to wait for earnings from JP Morgan Chase, the first of the six big Wall Street banks to report quarterly results. Those results are due any minute now. In the meantime, we're joined live once again by Bloomberg Radio and Television financial correspondent Shanali Basak. Shanali, let's go over once again real quickly what we're really focused on from JP Morgan's results this morning.
We're focused on how much money they can make. It's very, very simple this time around.
Right.
No, you know, the last couple quarters were plagued by a lot of provisioning for loan losses. Now,
yeah,
that is an estimate of how much money they can lose off of bad loans. But will that turn into actual losses? Like, will those turn into reserves? So, releases. So, how much money will they lose, and are they able to lend more amid such weak demand?
And looking ahead, I would imagine, to the recovery as well, with the pandemic still going on, but vaccines, even though slowly rolling out, at least rolling out.
Yeah, absolutely. What is Jamie Dimon's outlook for the political landscape, for the economic rebound? And, you know, we expect that the Biden administration might be a little tougher on bank regulation than there was in the Trump administration. So will that hamstring JP Morgan in any way from really gangbusters growth? And we are getting the earnings now.
Here they come. Yep.
They're coming in. So we have them now at, let's see, we have them...
$2.7 trillion in assets under management.
Yes, and so that makes them one of the biggest asset managers in the world. Fourth quarter revenue is above expectations by about almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
So that whole thing we were saying about making money in a hard time, JP Morgan is certainly able to do that.
Certainly able to do that as well, with adjusted revenue of $30.16 billion. That is well above even the highest analyst estimate surveyed by Bloomberg. As we look ahead to the call, Shanali, what do you want to be hearing from CEO Jamie Dimon? And I wonder if we could hear perhaps some commentary on this $1.9 trillion stimulus package that the president-elect just announced.
Yeah, absolutely. How much that will flow into the economy quickly, and how much that will kind of stave the damage we're seeing from, you know, almost more than 18 million people still here on unemployment aid, right? Are those going to have deeper ramifications for the economy? People are very worried that this can continue to last on.
Mm-hmm. And just got the earnings per share, $3.79 earnings per share, well above the consensus by more than $1 per share.
Point something out.
Yeah.
A 24% return on tangible common equity. I mean, Tom Keene's mind must be blowing out of his body. 24% return on tangible common equity is a standout number for any year, let alone a pandemic year.
Yeah, certainly when we're still trying to recover from a recession brought on by this pandemic, it really shows just how the perhaps the K-shaped recovery continues to go on here. Bloomberg finance correspondent Shanali Bosick for Bloomberg Radio and Television. I know you're going to be digging deeply into the numbers here. Once again, thanks for being with us to get them as they broke on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:57 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. More at njii.com. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Another sign of trouble in the consumer DNA testing industry. Ancestry.com says it's ending a 15-month effort to sell customers genetic insights into their health. Best known for its products that allow customers to explore their family trees, the company launched Ancestry Health in 2019 to compete with